sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say, "Brandy, fetch another round." She serves them whiskey and wine. The sailors say, "Brandy, you're a fine girl.
Right, that was The Looking Glass with their Unforgettable.
I love that song.
Call it Unforgettable. Yeah.
It's only Unforgettable if you haven't heard it in a long time.
Yeah. That was The Looking Glass with, and I like the title. It's Brandy parentheses. Remember that 1970s thing where everything was in parentheses?
Yes, I remember.
You're a fine girl. So it's parentheses, you're a fine girl. And that makes me think of that other 70s song, Escape, the Pina Colada song.
If you like a BFP, yeah.
Yeah, it's parentheses, Pina Colada. And the thing was, Rupert Jones or Rupert
Jones? Yeah.
Murdoch, one of the Ruperts, yeah. Like, he's like, they're like, we want to, everybody's asking. One of them. They're all the same.
That was funny.
All the Ruperts are the same.
But, that was funny.
But
it was called the Pina Colada song, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't originally. He's like, "I'm an artist." That song's called the Escape Song. And they're like, "Everybody's calling up and asking for the Pina Colada song, and you'll make more money that way." And he's like, "Okay, it's going to be parentheses." So now,
really?
Now whenever I think of songs with parentheses, I always think of that little deal. But I didn't even introduce ourselves. This is the 70s versus the 80s. This is the Pop Culture Podcast that tries to answer the age-old question, which decade was more rad? We're going to play around with the 90s and the 2000s a little bit too, but mostly we're starting with the 70s and the 80s. That's going to be our big thing. And we know you have many choices when it comes to when you want to hear about political strife these days. You got a lot of podcasts, you can listen to the news, you can, you know, get all angry and pick a side. And believe me, we don't shy away from the tough conversational stuff subjects either. Like on this podcast, we're going to talk about which Chrissy Snow was the purest snow. See what I did there? And then we're going to answer other questions like, why wasn't Hot Lips Hot Lips after all? And
that's right.
And then, and then at the end of the show, we're going to ask, is ancient Chinese secret still culturally appropriate? Was it ever? Can we still listen to the commercial? No. But I'm Mike, and the reason I played that song at the beginning is I was tasked to come up with a 1970s one-hit wonder, and this is my co-host, Jim, and he was...
Hello, everybody!
Hello, and he was tasked to come up with a one-hit wonder from the 1980s, and we're gonna do the 70s versus the 80s, see which decade did it best. And so how are you doing today, Jim?
I am wonderful. I love being tasked to find that song as a musician and a performer and a songwriter. I was always looking for stuff to play when I would do gigs, and that was kind of a fun task.
Excellent. So we heard we'll get into your song in a minute here. We heard my choice from it was a 1972. It's from The Looking Glass, and believe it or not, they were a one-hit wonder. Basically, things I didn't know about Brandy, You're a Fine Girl from Looking Glass is that I thought it was kind of a underground hit, but it actually went to number one in 1972. It was there for like a week, and then it got dethroned by Alone Again Naturally. Do you remember who did that song?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I didn't either. It's how could you forget Gilbert or Sullivan?
Was
he a one-hit wonder? I don't know what else he had.
Maybe I don't remember him at all.
I don't either. So I guess it was kind of like a big hit. I mean, Billboard ranked it as its 12th song of 1972. So I guess it was kind of a legit song.
And what was it called again, Mike?
Oh, the Gilbert or Sullivan song?
Yeah.
That was Alone Again Naturally. Remember that?
I gotta write that down and go look it up.
Yeah, right. I don't care for it too much. It's kind of, I guess it's good musically. I guess it's not my gig, but yeah.
Whenever you say the name of it, I'm thinking about Steve Perry with "I'm Forever Yours" naturally, because it just kind of sounds like the title.
It's kind of like a corny version of that, where he goes "Alone Again Naturally" or something. Maybe I'm singing it wrong. Maybe I got the wrong song, but I think that's what it is.
Well, I've got it written down to study up on.
So the thing, and you ask, why did I pick this song? No, I didn't even tell you. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about Three's Company. And then we're going to talk about the ancient Chinese secret commercial. And this, something, when I was 12 or whatever, when I first started hearing this song, even though it came out when I was two or whatever, but I didn't hear it till I was a little older. Something in the quality of his voice reminded me of the Three's Company theme song. And I know they don't sound the same, but for some reason, when I was that age, give me a break. They kind of reminded me of the same singer. I don't know why. So that's kind of a weird thing. But the reason I picked it is because I love the line. It's kind of like a Brandy. The song's about Brandy. She's a maid at this seaside resort. And she falls in love with this sailor. And I think he has a lot of girl. I think he has a different girl on every port. That's my version of the song, because he says the reason they can't get together is because his life, his love, his lady is the sea. So they can't get together. And I love that. It's so corny, but it's, I just love it. I just.
Oh, music is created from that sort of a place in a person. I think it rises to the top, in my opinion, because it was written because of something that's really super important to the artist. And that's when I think music is the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that line because it's just so, I think I'm going to start using it in my life. Like when my girlfriend asks why I'm so busy doing stuff, why I'm not spending more time with her, I can just say, my life, my love, my lady is the podcast that I'm editing. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
that won't work.
You can come use my spare bedroom when she boots your ass out of the house.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah. I think I'll try that once tonight. I think I'd only get to try that once. It wouldn't work anymore, but yeah.
Unless she catches wind of it before you put it on the air, you might not even get to last one time.
So is there anything else you wanted to say about this song before we get to your song here? Because I don't know. Like, I kind of unloaded this song on you. You didn't really know what I was going to play, and now I don't really know what you're going to play.
I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised when you hear this. I just have a feeling. Everything's okay. Come on up beneath the shining sun. This is like taking me back out of 1980.
What's that?
Walking back from the hockey rink with my skates, like hooked by my hockey stick over my shoulder.
That's a pretty Minnesota image right there.
Oh yeah, you and I used to go and play. Remember?
Yeah, I remember. I was horrible.
You were horrible. But it's amazing how music can do that. It takes you right back.
So tell me who this artist is again, and what the title of the song is.
This is Steve Forward, and the title is Romeo's Tune.
Romeo's Tune.
It was originally titled "Meet Me in the Middle of the Day," but the recording company made him change the name of it.
See, he should have used the parentheses like we said in the last song.
That's exactly what I was thinking. And you know, this song has been covered as recently as 3 and 4 years ago by guys like Keith Urban and Vince Gill have covered this song. Okay. And you know, the Keith Urban version of it is actually pretty good.
Okay.
And so Springsteen tried to play it once in Spain and it was a disaster, but brings me back.
Oh wow. Well, yeah, we're pretty much to the end here. Huh. Yeah.
Did you forget about it?
I forgot about it. Yeah, I kind of forgot about the song. I guess I never really knew who the artist was.
Yeah.
I never really knew who the artist was. So, and I never knew what the title was or anything. But yeah, definitely, that's definitely something I remember for sure.
Yeah, that's like an iconic early 1980s song. It would be on the radio when we were getting ready for school and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's funny. I always just assumed it was a 70s song. It's got kind of a 70s, to me, it's got a 70s sound to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I would have just guessed it was mid-70s like the other song we played. That's really crazy. I had no idea it was 80s.
Yeah, well, I think it was released in 1979, but it didn't start getting any coverage until January of 1980. So I just got in by the... the hair on my chinny chin chin.
Yeah, just snuck it in there.
So, what do we got today, Mike? What's the rundown on the docket for today's podcast?
Well, we're going to do an in-depth dive into Three's Company, that classic 70s and 80s. You know, started late 70s, went into the 80s there. We're going to talk about all our impressions there, and then we're going to talk about we're gonna do the Ancient Chinese Secret commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And I
love it.
Yeah, and so yeah, and so that's kind of what we got on the docket. So should we get right into it?
Let's do it.
All right, here's the see if you recognize this little theme song right here.
All right.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
Kisses
are
hers and hers and his, Three's Company too.
And I have it in front of me, Jim. I was just wondering, do you know what years that show ran from? Do you have any idea? Any guesses?
I'm thinking like 78 to 84 or something like that.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. You're almost perfect. It was March 15, 77 to September 18, 1984.
Oh, so I was really close.
Yeah, and you did you know it was based on a British television show?
I heard that somewhere, and I've heard that. I can't remember what the title of the English show was. It was like Man About the House or
yep, something. Exactly. You got it perfect. Man About the House.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yep.
Yeah, I heard about that. But I've never seen it.
And another thing I didn't realize, like, you know, it spun off into The Ropers and then Three's a Crowd.
Yeah.
But the British show also spun off into George and Mildred, which was their Ropers version, and then Robin's Nest, I guess, which must have been their Three's a Crowd version. So it was weird that it
They really followed or, you know, like copied it type of thing. I mean, they're about the same show.
Yeah, yeah.
I never heard that. That's cool. That's cool.
That's pretty wild. So, yeah. One of the things I always like, the first, I don't know if you've watched the first episode, the pilot episode.
Yes. And he's in the bathtub or something in there. And
yeah, they have a party and they find him passed out. They find Jack Tripper passed out in the bathtub. And
oh, that was funny.
That was a good episode, and what I remember reading somewhere is that was shot like 9 or 10 months before they got picked up, so they didn't shoot episode 2 until like 9 or 10 months later. And episode 1's really good, and I think I like Chrissy. She was more nuanced. She wasn't as ditzy in episode 1.
Okay.
And you can kind of see it. I don't know if you remember on the opening credits when they go and sprinkle water on her back and she kind of turns around.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
She turns around and she gives a smart alecky look, and that's not – it doesn't fit the character for the rest of the series, because the rest of the series she just plays like she's looking into the sun or something. She's always ditzy.
You're right.
I like that first character better that she played. It was a little more nuanced, I thought.
And, you know, they couldn't have done a better job creating different personality types that, you know, to live together, because, you know, Jack's all about, you know, Jack and Chrissy was kind of the ditz, and then Janet was, a brunette and more cerebral, I think they wanted you to think, and all that kind of stuff. But very good character development and making those characters, I think, in my opinion, but I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I think the show accomplished what it wanted. It was just wanted to be a Farsi 1970s easygoing show, and I think that's exactly what they accomplished. I mean, the show's, I know, like, my father hated the show, but I mean, it was what it was. It wasn't 60 minutes. It was Three's Company, and it was really farcical, and I think they accomplished everything they set out to go for.
I think so too. In fact, I think they probably went further with that than they anticipated. And you know, let's face it, it's not a show that you're gonna sit down and grab your reference materials and watch it, look everything up. It's just meant to let you sit in your chair and you know, chill out and get a laugh or two.
And the show, I mean, I think it had some really things like, I mean, we were so young when we watched it. I thought, you know, I didn't realize how rare it was. But do you remember any actor since Jack Tripper? The actor's name is escaping me now. But he played that role so physically, like physical comedy.
And who did? Are we talking about Jack or somebody else?
Yeah, Jack.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think on television since then there's been a character that did that much physical comedy. I mean, you watch it, he's sliding off the couch on every scene. He's like, yeah, he's like reaching for something and missing it and falling over. And he's just doing it nonstop. And at the time, you're just like, okay, that's what it is. But when I think back in the history of television, I don't remember another character being that physical since then. I might be missing one, but
that's interesting, Mike, because I agree. It's an interesting point. So I'm, you know, kind of racking my brains trying to think of, you know, the more modern. Well, how about this? How about Kramer on Seinfeld?
Oh, good point. Very good point. I forgot about him.
Yeah. But there isn't that many. But you know, to your credit, there's not very many of those types of actors around. And they're, you know, you got to cut everybody out except for, you know, the comedic actors because we're in that genre. And they're just, like you said, there's just not a lot of them out there.
Yeah, I totally, yeah, I think Kramer, so that show came out in the 90s, so that was a good decade between shows, I think. And, yeah, I haven't seen, that's another show we'll probably cover on this podcast or later episode, for sure, because it's such a classic. Yeah. Another thing I was thinking about Three's Company is, do you remember how Mr. Roper, Norman Fell, he would constantly break the fourth wall by turning to the camera?
That was, you know, I read about that one time he kind of did it on the spur of the moment and everybody liked it so much they left it in. But yeah, he would burn his wife with a comment or something like that and then turn around and laugh at the camera. That was funny.
And yeah, and that's another thing. I mean, you see a couple TV shows where they're obviously trying to copy that, but I haven't seen another TV show like employ that, like that kind of, maybe kind of The Office, the new shows, but they're supposed to be a documentary, so they're supposed to look at the camera. But that was just breaking the fourth wall like that.
Yeah, they don't see that very often.
Yeah, and I actually have a buddy who got that tattoo of that on his, I think on his arm, where he's got Mr. Roper doing the sly smile on his arm.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Man.
So I would
get Mrs. Roper, you know, get a Mrs. Roper tattoo on my left chest.
And that's another thing. They were such great characters, and then they left to do the Ropers, mm-hmm. and then Don Knotts came in to play Mr. Mm-hmm. Furley.
Right.
And I was just thinking, where else in television history have you had such a famous couple actors leave and then their role gets filled by another actor that takes over and was just he was a totally different character but almost as enjoyable, I think, as the Ropers.
Oh, and yeah. I mean, I think they lucked out. You know, a good example of that is when Coach on Cheers passed away and mm-hmm. Woody Harrelson came in, and that was a score. I mean, my God, they found the perfect person for that role. But yeah, but I think the Ropers had a contract dispute or something with the what was it on CBS or ABC? I can't remember.
It was on ABC, which was always, that's another point. They were always like, weren't they kind of always the third place? I mean, there was three stations And they were always kind of like in third out of the networks, I think.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they, so they were a giant. So maybe they were more willing to take a risk on a show that's just so different, like that is just so far out there, farcical. Yeah. Yeah. No, but I think the Ropers, I just had read up on this lately, or I saw a YouTube video on it, but Norman Fell, who played Mr. Roper, really wanted to stay, and they said, no, we're going to send you off to do the Ropers, and they're like, you can always come back.
Oh,
if the show fails. Okay. Yep, and they went, and the show did really good, like it was number one or two in the ratings, and then they moved it to a different time slot, and then it just started falling off, and then they canceled it. And then by then, like we just spoke about, Don Knotts was lighting up on fire, but I wonder why they didn't put them on with Don Knotts. I mean, do you think that would have worked? Or, I mean, if they would have had both characters on, or all three of them.
It's an interesting idea, but you'd have to take Norman Fell and Don Knotts and give them distinctly different personalities or roles in the show, because I don't think that the Ropers could have came back and did the same job that Furley did. It would just be, you know, too much overlap there. So I think it would have worked because Don Knotts was a huge, you know, star from Andy Griffith and all that. But I don't know what they would have done if they had two strong personalities like that in the same role.
Yeah. And he was another, I mean, to kind of go against my point I made before, he was a really good physical act, not the same as Jack was, you know, he didn't trip over stuff, but he you know, he'd pull his pants up really high and make his Don Knotts face that he always makes, his rubber face. And
yeah, and he would slink down and bend his knees, and so it was physical within his own body, like you say. And you know, John Ritter, I've always said, I mean, even back in the 80s, I said, this guy is one of the best physical actors in comedy right now. He just is. And uh-huh. You know, then when he graduated from that and went on to do different things, and his serious roles, like in Sling Blade, I mean, he was so good in that.
Oh, so I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to bring that up. That's, yeah, he was, yeah. So he played such a nerdy little shy guy, and he was just so good in it. You're right, just perfect.
wasn't he in Bad? Yeah, he was in Bad Santa too.
Yep, and that movie is sad because he's in the beginning of the movie, and then at the end of the movie, he's just not in it, and that's because he had passed away during when they were shooting that.
Oh, man.
So that's a total bummer when you see that, but he is so good in that movie, the way he just plays so awkward and off-putted and everything, yeah.
And didn't somebody else from that die or something?
Well, Bernie Mac died,
Bernie
right?
Mac, that's right. Yeah, Bernie Mac.
So that's going to be the next movie we all talk about being a jinx, just because.
Oh, man. It's Three's Company, and different, was it Different Strokes that followed it on ABC after Three's Company?
That sounds about right. It was something, they had a big lineup. I mean, a bunch of comedies, family comedies.
Right, exactly. I remember at Friday nights, it was Dukes of Hazzard, and then Dallas. And I think Wednesday or Thursday was The Incredible Hulk. But
Hulk was Fridays. I remember that. Well, or no, oh, maybe Hulk, you're right. Maybe it was Thursdays.
Well, all I remember is that the Dukes of Hazzard and Dallas were on Friday nights. But it could have been different
stations. You're right. You're right. I think, yeah, Hulk must have been Thursdays then, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I was watching Dallas when I was 12 or 13 years old, and that I was not the target audience for that show, but I loved it.
No,
you
loved it?
Oh, hell yeah. Especially like the Who Shot What's His Nuts or whatever. That was just a fun thing. They really scored with that because they had people talking about it all summer long.
Yeah. And that's what I really hope we accomplish with this podcast is those, you know, back, like we said, they had three stations and everybody watched them. And that world is gone now. Everything is Netflix. Nobody's watching the same show.
Right.
So it was really a different time back then. Everybody only had three stations to watch, and you'd sit around and talk about the show the next day.
Yeah, there just really wasn't a lot of media sources for entertainment besides the TV and the radio. And like you say, now I could watch anything I want to on my phone. I could do it on my watch. I got a smartwatch, and I can watch TV on my watch. It's amazing. But
yeah,
stuff gets watered down, and talent gets spread out, and you know things aren't quite as good. But once in a while, they score with something.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think now they're saying it's kind of the new golden age of television because there's a lot of good shows, but you are right. There's a lot of bad shows. I think kind of back then with the three networks, they didn't have as much competition, so they could put some – we saw a lot of crappy shows when we were kids. I mean, that was – I mean, they couldn't – I mean, the Dukes of Hazzard was fun, but I don't think – well, I don't know if I'd make it today, but
– they would have to change it a little bit, I think. But, you know, if you watch shows like the new MacGyver or the new Magnum P.I., they're horrible.
Yeah,
they're horrible. I don't know if you like them, but I think they're horrible.
Yeah, those are both like network. Like I'm kind of. I think networks are kind of. I don't watch network anymore. It's pretty bad. It's those kind of shows, anyways. The hour long or half hour song shows on network. I mean,
and they pull shows like The Orville. That was a great show, and they pulled it. And what was the one with the dude from Saturday Night Live? The Last Man in the World or something like that.
Yeah, that was a good show.
That was a good show. And it got pulled. And then you had the last one was Bill Hader was in he was a hitman in a show and he played a serious role and he was amazing in that.
Oh, is that that's on HBO, I know what you're talking. Isn't that on HBO?
Yeah. It's really good. It's really good. I'm getting off the task.
Barry is what that show is called, I think. Yeah.
What was it?
Barry, wasn't it called?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Okay, well, I had another. So, can you remember how many years do you think that Suzanne Summers was on the show on Three's Company? I was kind of surprised at this.
All right, that's a good question. I'm going to say, because after her, they brought in another big bosom blonde. And then she left, and then Terry came.
Yep.
So I'm going to say from 77 to 1980.
That's kind of what I thought, but according to this, she was on 5 years, which really surprised me.
Maybe.
5 years, and then her cousin, you don't remember her cousin's name, Cindy Snow?
Cindy, yep, that was she that. Was the big, tall blonde.
Yeah, but she was on 2 years, and then I guess she kind of she had a year, or maybe half a season with Terry. You're right; she was the last one, played by Patricia Barnes. And do you know what role she was famous for before that?
Oh shit! Was she Mel on Alice or on that?
Nope.
I can't think of it.
No, she was in a movie that turned into a famous 70s TV show. She played Hot Lips Houlihan on the MASH movie.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is totally crazy, especially since you have to juxtapose Switch, what's her name?
Loretta Switch, is Loretta that her name? Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah, Loretta Switch, Switch, Loretta Switch, that's what he said.
It's kind of a big, you know, big difference between those two, but
yeah, it's weird that she didn't get the MASH TV series if she was willing to. I mean, obviously, if she was willing to go to TV, she went to Three's Company. It's weird. I wonder what happened there.
Maybe she committed to Three's Company before she was offered the show.
Well, I think MASH would have started. That would have started like a good. That started well before. That was early 70s. It started, I believe.
I think you're right. So, she must have been really young for that thing.
Yeah, because she didn't seem that old in Three's Company.
No, she seemed like she was about 30 is what I always thought.
Yeah, me too. That's what I always thought.
Now, all those years that show was running and Jack was there with all these beautiful women and Larry was always, you know, trying to get him to go get him, you know, a piece of something. How much do you think that there was any romances within the characters on the show?
Oh, within the actors, you mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, in real life. I worded that wrong. But yeah, in real life, do you think there was any of that going around?
I don't know. I've watched some of the interviews, and I don't know, because I know. Yeah, I don't. That's, you would think it would happen because it even happened on the Brady Bunch and that, those kind of shows.
Mm-hmm.
You think, and then everybody was very attractive on Three's Company. I don't know so much about Larry if he was, but but he played the ladies' man, and he was the. But
he's like the character that inspired the guy on. I'm losing my mind. I can't remember anything. The Peter Griffin that show on the cartoon show.
Oh, Family Guy. You think he played? He's
he probably inspired the next door neighbor. I can't remember his name.
The guy that giddy, that guy.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't think of his name right now, but yeah, that's a good call. Yeah.
That's kind of the same, the character, or similar.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, I just wondered, you know, because I just wondered how much of that, you know, office romance went on, but yeah, I've never heard anything like that, and I've seen a lot of the actors' interviews, you know, all the way up to recently, and nobody's ever said anything. So I think it would.
Did you know that Suzanne Somers wasn't talking to? I think it changed just recently, but she wasn't talking to anybody on the show after she left. I mean, she wasn't talking to Joyce DeWitt or.
Really.
I think they made up. I think they're like. They've made up since, like, in the last 8 years, because I was kind of watching some YouTube videos where they're all friendly. But she said, like she said, even the people that worked on the producers and stuff, she said she'd run into them in a restaurant and they'd turn their head and they wouldn't talk to her.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and, she was wanting a lot of money, and you know what? They should have given it to her. I mean, she was, you know, she was the reason that a lot of people watched that show. They want to see a, you know, show with boobs bouncing up and down and shit like that. And they, you know, that's what they had.
Do you remember how weird it got at the end where they would have the show would be like Joyce DeWitt and John Ritter. And then at the end, Chrissy would call on the telephone because she was off at her. She'd call in to check in.
Yeah,
she was all by herself. She wasn't on the set with anybody. And it just got really weird. She would just do a 5-minute phone call of checking in.
Yeah, that was strange. I thought, well, if you're going to have her there, just why don't you just give her the money and get her back on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Silly. And, you know, the last season, they had a lot of opportunity where she could have come back and done a cameo or something to close the show out or the Ropers or even, you know, Three's a Crowd. But you never saw her again until, you know, she started infomercials. And I just thought that was stupid. If I was them,
Do you remember what TV show she left Three's Company for? And I have more respect for you if you don't remember, because there's nothing worth.
Okay, well, give me a hint.
She's the, what was the last word? And I could be wrong. I'm just doing this off memory.
Was it She's the Boss or She's the?
Close. Yeah, I think wasn't it She's the Sheriff? Or am I?
Yes. It was something like that. Yep. I forgot about that.
And I think that was on for all of 4 episodes, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
That was terrible.
Did you know what I never knew about her? Do you remember the opening credits when John Ritter does his awesome his physical comedy where he wipes out on the, he looks back at the brunette and wipes out on his bicycle?
I do. Back. I remember that.
That brunette is Suzanne Somers with a wig.
You're shitting me. Seriously?
Yeah, I read that somewhere and I went years without knowing that. I mean,
how did you make it through life without that information?
Yeah, how would I get through life without that?
All right, I got one for you. Mm-hmm. I just saw this the other day. How old is Suzanne Somers now?
From looking from her face, she still looks like she's 28 because she's obviously had some work done. She looks like a porcelain doll. But I'm going to say she's 67.
You're close. She's 73.
Oh, I'm not really that close. Do you know she was the, I don't know if you ever saw American Graffiti.
Yes, I saw that.
And when they see the blonde girl driving around in the convertible and they go, oh, there she is. But you never, I don't think you ever see her up close. I think you always see the back of her head or whatever.
That's so that was Suzanne.
That was her.
Interesting. All this stuff I never knew. It's fun to reminisce about these shows, though, because we grew up on them.
Yeah, exactly.
And then later on, we grew up with the when they play them again. What's that called? Syndication. I remember in high school, middle school, and high school, my grades were so bad that my dad banished me to my room with no media on anywhere, and I had to study. So what I would do is I would go in my room, I'd lock the door. We had door locks. And I figured out a way to plug a headphone into the side of the TV it was just a little black and white TV in it. Remember those? They had
the headphone jacks. Yep.
And I would stick it into that and sit there and watch TV in silence in my room. But for some reason, my grades never got better.
Okay. So do we have anything? We didn't really talk much about plot development. I mean, did you ever see the episode of Three's Company where there's a misunderstanding?
That was my famous quote. I used to say, did you ever see that episode of Three's Company where there's a misunderstanding in the beginning and they all act silly for 15 minutes? And that pretty much encompasses all the shows.
I think I stole that joke from you. Yeah. Cause I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But now I say that to people and they're like, I don't know which one is that. And I go, which one is that? It's everyone is that.
You remember the one that I didn't like? Let's talk about episodes. If we can, let's talk about episodes.
Yeah,
the
one tell
that
me I one you don't like. Yeah.
I didn't like the one where Jack's Navy buddy that was blind came back and was, punching things on the set and knocking, pictures off the wall. Remember that?
That was pretty creepy, yeah.
Oh, you didn't see that? Okay, yeah. He was pissed off at Jack about something, and he came for revenge.
No, I did see that episode, yeah. It was. You're right. It had, like, a creepy...
It did. It had a creepy feel to it.
A creepy feel to it, like a comedy. Yeah, it was kind of off genre a little bit. Yeah.
It sure was. It was absolutely, yeah. When you think of Three's Company, you think of things like that the guy sitting on the couch, and Jack had to play himself, and he had to play a Texas guy. So he sat behind the couch with a cowboy hat, and whatever way the guy was talking, Jack would, do you remember that one?
Is that like, so they did this, I know every 70s show did that split screen where they'd have somebody play the twins or whatever, and they split screen it.
No, the guy was just the guy was sitting on the couch, the Three's Company couch, and Jack was behind the couch, and he had a cowboy hat in his hand, and I don't remember what the guy on the couch was asking, but for some reason they had to make sure that he was two different people,
So he'd take the hat off and be Jack and put it on and be whatever. Yeah, I do remember that.
And then he did the Texas thing on the other. That whole thing.
Yeah. And what was the deal with their front door? They would leave it. It was very Seinfeld-like, where they would leave it wide. It was wide. They're in Santa Monica, which is not the safest place in the world. And they would.
I don't know why. A lot of shows did that, and I don't know why.
The door was always wide open. Like I guess they didn't have mosquitoes there or something. But I can remember that arch door. That round arch door.
Yeah. It was a thing where anytime anybody ever came in, you're right, that they would leave the door wide open. And I thought, what are you taking away from the show by putting your hand and swinging the door shut?
I don't know if they think that's like awkward, they only had a half hour and that would take a half second, be kind of awkward. I don't know. But yeah, the door would stay open and it would just be a distraction to me. I'd just sit there and stare at the wide open door the rest of the episode.
Those are the things that are fun to talk about because, we're in our 50s now. We're talking about 40 years ago and, little, like you said, nuances in the characters or even the plot is kind of fun to reminisce about.
Yeah, that show, I just encourage all our listeners to go back and do some. YouTube has some really good where you can watch the greatest moments. You don't have to watch a whole episode, and they just kind of cut it up really good. And, there's, like I said, there's just the physical comedy. And, back then, we're just kids, and we're like, okay, TV's always going to be like this. But, I mean, since that show went off, I just don't remember another show that went for the farcical that much. I mean, they went for it. I mean, they...
About just overall comedy and
They didn't try to be realistic at all. I mean, it was just
You had one of the funniest you said one of the funniest things one time. And you know, just if we have any listeners already, I've always said that Mike is one of the funniest people I've ever known. But you said a line about different strokes one time, and you said something about I kind of was feeling like Dudley in the bicycle shop. And Mike, I laughed so fucking hard. And it's still funny.
Okay, now we're going to have to do different strokes somewhere in the upcoming episodes just so we can explain that to the people that have no idea what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, we'll explain it. But the reason why it was significant at the time is that when I came home from the military, I got a job with Gen Air. And Gen Air was bought by Maytag, and it was this big conglomerate. But we sold Maytag stuff. And so once in a while, the guy from what's his name? The big guy from WKRP and the
Gordon.
And the
I think it was Gordon Jump, right? That's what the show we're going to talk about next. Yeah.
Oh, he was at that time. He was the Maytag repairman. And so I would look at the year and you know, plan, okay, I'm going to meet up this week and this week. And then he would show up at events and sign autographs. And I think I brought it up to you. And then you did that funny thing about Dudley and the bicycle stuff. That was brilliant.
All right. Well, all our listeners are going to have to listen to our Different Strokes episode to figure out if they don't know what we're talking about. That was like back in the 70s. Notebook. Back in the 70s, the shows would always try to, the sitcoms would always have a very special episode where they'd try to tackle a serious matter, and it never ended up well. The results were always horrible. So,
and then it went to like Silver Spoons and all that kind of stuff with what was that guy's name again? Jason, what's his name?
Jason Bateman.
Yes, Bateman and his sister. You could turn that into a trivia question, by the way.
Yeah.
I remember you used to think she was hot.
Yeah, I still follow her, Justine Bateman. I still follow her on Twitter to this day. Yeah.
Yeah, she's cute. Yeah. But you know, I think that those shows ushered in a whole bunch of, you know, mindless comedies that you could just sit and decompress while you watched them. And that, like you said, that's what they were for. They weren't trying to be, you know, L.A. Law or whatever. They were trying to be something that you could unwind with.
Uh-huh.
And I think they served the purpose. But then they like I said, they ushered in a bunch of other kind of shows.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know if there will ever be a show like Three's Company again where it just went, you know, all-out comedy and And I mean, we didn't even really talk. I mean, how the premise of the show wouldn't even work now, where John Ritter is pretending to be gay, so he can live with two female roommates. I mean,
you would have to have like a Mormon or something that runs the apartment building that absolutely, you know, won't allow that or something, but. You're right. That would be hard to do these days because it's such a, you know, an open and accepted thing.
Yeah, it was just crazy. It was a genius concept at the time, but I mean, maybe even at the time it was a little dated or getting dated towards the end. But
yeah,
that's pretty. That reminds me, Norman Fell. He played.
Is he okay?
What?
Is he okay?
Is Norman Fell? I get it. That's good.
But I'm sorry.
No, but he. Do you remember what role, what famous movie he was in, where he basically played an uptight landlord? That's the only two roles I know him from, and he played an uptight landlord in both.
Damn. Opposite who in the movie?
Dustin. Well, now you're gonna know Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, was that like Tootsie or something?
No, he played the uptight landlord in The Graduate.
And, in The Graduate, really?
And that was early 60s, and he looked the exact same as he did on The Roper. I was on Three's Company and The Ropers. I mean, He had to be, maybe he was never young. Maybe he always looked the same.
Hey, I didn't think of that. So he was the landlord on The Graduate.
Yeah. When Dustin Hoffman was going, I haven't seen that movie in years, but he was going to the dorm or maybe, no, I think it was a campus apartment. And then he's walking up the stairs and Norman Fell's walking up the stairs with him. He's like, "You're not going to have any women over." He goes, "Women bring drama." And he was like, he was uptight about women coming over. And then I wonder if that's how he got the role in Three's Company, because he played the uptight.
That's an excellent point, because, yeah, you know, these guys probably had to watch something to, you know, to figure out who they wanted to offer parts to. So I'm sure they did base some of that on that movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I don't know him from any other roles. I mean, he's probably on The Love Boat, probably, but.
Mrs. Robinson, are you trying to seduce me?
Yeah.
That was a great movie in itself. We should write that down and watch that again. What was your favorite episode of Three's Company?
I like the first one a lot because it really, like I said, Chrissy was a different character. And then another one I really like is as much as I love the Ropers, when Mr. Furley, his first episode, and that brought in the character Lana. Do you remember the old?
Yes, we do. Damn.
She'd be a MILF now. I mean, she'd be called a MILF. They didn't have the term back then. She just passed away recently, within the last year, I believe. Oh. The actress, yeah. Which is
so
funny.
She wasn't on the show until what's the name of that?
She might have been, but I remember she was really showcased in that episode, and then Mr. Furley was always had a crush on her for the rest of his run. So she might have been on the show before then, but if she was, she was just a very minor character.
Well, she was always after Jack, and she had that real breathy voice and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Lana. Yeah,
she's awesome. Norman Fell, by the way, was born in 1924 and died in 1998. So 78. So he was 74. That's pretty young.
So he was really young when he was in The Graduate, and he must have been, I mean, I guess he would have been 40, and he was playing, kind of playing over his age a little bit in that, but, huh.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what year that was, but if any of the listeners haven't seen The Graduate, I mean, you've got to see The Graduate. You've got to see that movie, because it was done so well.
It was done so well. It was like kind of a smarter Three's Company, really. I mean,
yeah, you're right.
It was...
And just for the listeners, what the basic premise was is that Dustin Hoffman was after, I think, Catherine Ross played that part of Elaine Robinson, and Anne Bancroft was always trying to get Dustin Hoffman in her bedroom. Is that the way you remember it?
They actually were in the bedroom together. She was having an affair with Dustin Hoffman, and then later. Later in the movie, and then for some reason, kind of like a Three's Company, he has to go out with her daughter, and he's trying to be mean to her because he's sleeping with the mom, and he doesn't want to be involved with the daughter, but then he ends up falling for her, and then the hijinks ensue.
You know, so, there was a misunderstanding at the beginning, and they all actually are.
Yeah, Norman Fell did a couple of sides at the camera, and yeah.
So I didn't know he was in that movie. I forgot all about that.
It's a very, I bet you he's probably got 2 minutes of screen time at the most. I mean, it's very, very, he just walked, I remember him walking up the stairs, and he keeps stopping and staring every time Dustin Hoffman says something progressive, like, "You're going to have women in here?" He just stops and stares at him. He's like, "Women bring drama." And then he just walks up a couple more stairs, and then Dustin Hoffman says something else, and he turns and looks at him, and that's about it. So
your favorite episode was the first one, the pilot, right?
Yeah.
And then you were going to say another one. I cut you off. Sorry about that.
I like the one. I can kind of remember the one where Jack gets pulled up from DWI riding his bicycle.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I can remember. And for some reason, there's like a bunch of like Streakers because it's the 70s. I can't, but I remember that was a good episode. Well, what are some of your favorite episodes?
I like after he got the job at the restaurant, and his boss was Mr. Angelino, and he had to make everything perfect, and something happened in the restaurant with his stuff, and everything came down, and I think he set the kitchen on fire and all that. So I liked that episode. I liked there's a lot of them with he and Larry, the hijinks at the Regal Beagle.
Yeah.
And they all the shows kind of mesh into one for me, and I can't separate them all.
One thing is, do you remember we're talking about that physical comedy of John Ritter again? Do you remember when he's getting into the hammock? Is there like a camping episode?
Yes.
And he keeps flipping out of it. I really want everybody go on YouTube and find that, because there's it's funny, but there's like a wrestling mat underneath what's supposed to be grass or leaves, and it keeps popping up every time he falls.
Oh, really?
It's super obvious that there's a rubber mat there, and I don't know if you can find that.
They probably thought that this is funny. Let's leave that in there.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why they left it in there, because it was so obvious. Even when I was a kid, I would see it right away. And see.
I forgot. Well, see, the thing about John Ritter, in my opinion, John Ritter was one of the biggest underrated actors, because he had really a wide scope of talents. He could play a lot of things, and thankfully he didn't get too typecast as a silly actor, because he did a lot of really good work. And it was sad when he died, because I really admired him as an actor in some of the serious roles he played. It just was a bummer when he passed.
Yeah.
And something that's so treatable. I think he has like a aortic hemorrhage or something. You know, you can test for those kinds of things, but for some reason he got hit right in the middle. And you can go on YouTube and pull up the last episode he was in, and they finished that episode, and you know, the last few minutes of him, he makes it like to about the 20-minute point in the show, but you're thinking to yourself, he's going to be dead in 30 minutes from right then. It's just wild. It's a bummer.
What episode is that? Or what show is that?
What was it? What was the name of that sitcom that he was in? I'm looking it up.
Hooper?
Was it? No. Give me a second.
Oh, Eight Rules.
It was a really good one.
Yeah, 8 Rules to Date My Daughter or something like
that. Yes, that's it. Yep. And he was, that was a good show, and it was going somewhere. And then after he passed away, the show continued, and that's not that common. You know, a lot of, you know, we talked about Cheers earlier made it through with Woody, but you know, a lot of times they can't recover from that kind of thing.
Well, he was the main actor. That's the thing. Yeah, that's, so that was really rare that it went on.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, like Coach on Cheers was like a secondary character, and then yeah.
The other one would be Lodka on Taxi. What was the guy's name?
Oh yeah, Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman. There's another one that he had to leave. They replaced him with the guy that turned the DeLorean into a time machine.
Oh, Jim, Reverend Jim. Okay.
yep. And that was one of his. I think that was probably the first time I ever saw him.
Yeah, it had to be. Yeah.
Because he was a funny actor too, and not the physical type so much, but he kind of played like a real cerebral guy that was always stoned or something like that.
Yeah, he played one of the teachers in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes.
He's the one that he asked Spicoli, "Are you in my class?" I think he's the one that said, "Are you in my you're not in my class?" He's like, "I am today." Yeah. I think that was him. So,
you know, in that show with John Ritter, do you know who played the daughter?
Yeah, it was somebody. No, but she turned out to be someone. And she was blonde. Yeah, I can't remember.
Kelly Cuoco or Cuoco, C-U-O-C-O. And she's on the show with all the nerdy science kids. And
oh, Third Rock from the Sun.
Not Third Rock.
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang, yes. And yep. Nice recovery bike. You hit the parachute and recovered from that real good.
You can tell how much I've watched modern television. I don't know any of those shows. Yeah.
Yeah, and she pleaded, you know, she went on to play that, but she was almost unable to continue on that show because she just said that Jack or John Ritter was an absolute gentleman and a father figure. It never was creepy. And in that business, there's a lot of creepy shit that goes on.
Yeah, that's really amazing that he went through his whole career without getting something, getting a Me Too movement, which happens to everybody now. But
maybe if he was alive now, they might
they'd dig something up. Yeah,
yeah. He died in 2003. It was already 17 years ago.
My God.
And he died when the guy from Saturday Night Live, Phil Hartman, I think died right around then too, didn't he?
I know who died the same week as John Ritter was. And I remember this because I went the store I worked at, and I went and looked at People magazine, and they had John Ritter as dying. And I go, oh, the young people have taken over media now, because Johnny Cash died like a day or two. You know how famous people always die. He died like a day or two before or after John Ritter. And they put John Ritter on the cover of People instead of Johnny Cash. And I love John Ritter, but you could just tell it's young people running the world now because they.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Johnny Cash, wow. That last video he did where he was just kind of talking about a death that was coming. And that was just a really cool video. Do you remember that video? That was black and white and.
He redid the Nine Inch Nails song, Hurt.
Yes. Yep. And it was awesome. They loved it.
Okay. So do we have, I think we pretty much run out of Three's Company talk here. And
What color was their carpet?
They had hardwood floors. Didn't they have a throw rug? I'm trying to remember. I thought they had hardwood floors, though, with a throw rug under the couch.
I don't remember, but they had really nice bedrooms with twin beds in them.
And, yeah, like you see that. Yeah, that's.
But yeah, I think we've probably exhausted Three's Company.
And of course, when you're watching these old shows, there would always be the commercial breaks. The commercial breaks. You could not fast forward through the commercials, and you could not pause them. So every time there's a commercial, you'd run to the bathroom, and your brothers and sisters would scream, "You're missing it! You're missing it!" as you came running back into the room, zipping your pants up. The kids today will never understand the struggle, I tell you, Jim. Jim? Well, I guess Jim's run to the bathroom. That's just how we were trained in. It's Pavlovian. Every time there's a commercial break, we go to the bathroom. So let's see if you remember this classic commercial. Jim, you're missing it! You're missing it!
How do you get shirts so clean, Mr. Lee?
Ancient Chinese secret.
My husband, some hotshot. Here's his ancient Chinese secret. New improved Calgon. Calgon's two water softeners soften wash water so detergents clean better. In hardest water, Calgon helps detergents get laundry up to 30% cleaner. We need more Calgon. Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
Calgon helps detergents get laundry up to 30% cleaner.
Okay, so what we just heard there was the famous Ancient Chinese Secret, huh? Commercial from Calgon. And so a lot of things we see in that commercial, probably the most noticeable is it probably wouldn't be the most, I don't think that one could run today. It's
not the
most socially acceptable commercial.
Yeah, I mean, Trump would probably do it, but he takes some chances sometimes. But everybody on the planet knew that commercial during those times.
Yeah. And
I agree with you. I don't think they would be able to do that today.
It was very iconic commercial. Just it would run. I think it's like 30 seconds long, and it would just run all the time. And I don't know. It always brought a smile on my face whenever it came on. I really liked the people in it.
The Ancient Chinese Secret?
Yeah.
You know, I hate to break this to you, Mike, but I don't think it was a Chinese secret. I'm just guessing. I'm kind of guessing, but I don't think it was really a Chinese secret.
Well, did you know that the female actor, she was Japanese American too?
Oh, she was. I didn't even pay attention to her. I was always watching that. See, first of all, I don't remember Calgon making. Wasn't that laundry detergent?
It was some kind of boost. It wasn't even laundry detergent. It was like booster for laundry detergent.
Yeah, like, I don't remember Calgon. I thought they were just like make like bath salts that people could smoke.
Yeah, and they had a like in the 80s they had a very iconic commercial line. Do you remember that one?
Calgon, take me away.
Yeah, take me away. Which is so weird that that's the same. They had two totally different big
two different products.
Was it like two of the biggest commercial lines ever? And
yeah. Uh-huh. So another one that I watched was Mr. Whipple. Now this guy never let you squeeze the Charmin. And when I go grocery shopping, and I'm being serious now, when I go grocery shopping, I have to squeeze the Charmin. I have to squeeze it just to see if it's squeezable. And back then he wouldn't allow that.
Yeah. Now if he was still alive now, he'd be like, we don't have any Charmin because of COVID-19. There's no Charmin squeeze.
I saw a thing not long ago. It was a teacher over in China or Japan or whatever, and she was showing the kids how to use toilet paper, and she pulled off a length of it that was about arm's length. And fold it up, and then she showed the kids they could fold it in half and use the other side, and then fold it again, and they're teaching kids to do that now to save paper, toilet paper, because it's hard to come by some places. It's amazing.
That's you always see those people that take the double ply and turn it into single ply or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, when I was poor, I would go up to the hospital or whatever after employment, and I would take a roll of toilet paper and stuff it in my jacket or something because it was like 3,000 feet long, and it lasted a long time. So that's what – remember, you came to see me, and that's probably what I had there.
How would you – like the ones they have in the supermarket, you can't – they're like – you can't steal them because they're like the size of a film reel. So, like, you wouldn't be able to get it on your roll if you took it home. You know, you would have to lay it on the floor and do it like a garden hose or something. I don't know.
Well, that's exactly how I did it because I never.
Oh, really?
Well, you came up to see me up north, and that's about as fancy as I got up there. I mean, what you saw, I did end up putting the kitchen in the other, you know, the big room that had all my tools and stuff in it. But, yeah, I got to a point where I was really super, super poor because I was paying off debts and stuff like that, and I just had to, you know, somehow find what I, you know, find stuff, and that's what I found at the hospital. I'm sorry, Granddad Tasca. I apologize. I'll pay you back.
Oh, God. So yeah, we know about this Calgon company as they made some booster thing that didn't work, and then whatever the bath salts. Wow, they just stuff you add in water. I don't know how they.
Yeah, you put it in the tub, and it you know, it puts like a heavenly scent in the tub, makes your skin soft, and all that stuff. And I just don't need that.
Yeah, but they got two of the most memorable commercial lines ever from different decades. And
yeah, that's crazy. I wonder if that was like what they were trying to do, or if it just kind of happened, you know, by accident that they got two of those great commercials.
Yeah, you know, I think all those commercials were trying to get a good tagline, and they just happened to hit on two that we still remember today.
Big ones. I mean, that was a big line. Both of them were.
Yeah. Oh, Jim, I think we've come to the part in the podcast where I have to admit we just have too much podcast today. We got to get out of here.
You know, we could save all this, all the excess stuff, and get rich off of it.
I don't think we have to worry too much about that. But I just wanted to remind our listeners, just reach out to us on Twitter. This is just 70s vs 80s, 70s versus 80s. And let us know what songs, what TV shows, what movies, what else is there? I guess we could review video games too, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, anything iconic from that time period, because you and I are, we're getting to the age where that kind of stuff is welcome to our ears, because it, you know, it's just the life we led at the time, and we miss it.
Yeah, we miss it, and we hope hope all you do too, and that you can give us some ideas of what you want to hear us talk about. And so we're signing out today. This is Mike, and I just wanted to remind everybody I do have another podcast called Twin Talks Trail, Twin Towns Trail Talk. I don't even know the name of it, but and that's a good one. That one's kind of it's about the endurance athletes that live around the Twin Cities and kind of the trails that we can hike and run. And so if you want to know anything about that community, it's been a really fun podcast so far. And then Jim, where do you have anything you want to plug? Where can we see you or hear you at?
Well, I took a long break from live playing. I think you know that I play guitar and sing, and I used to gig in Northern Minnesota at places like Fickers and the Locker Room and all these places up in Northern Minnesota. But now I'm down here in the Mesa, Arizona area, and I just started to play live again. And so when I start getting a little bit more of an audience that can be there live with this pandemic going on, it'll be something fun to see y'all at.
Yeah, this stinking pandemic. I can't even say that, but yeah. Take away all our live music, so.
It really is. It's taken a lot of things.
And I just wanted to remind everyone out there to be safe, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with some more 70 versus the 80s.